you know, the thing to do was train hard, party hard.
Isn't happy hour any time?
I chased girls, I drank alcohol, spent lavishly.
From the outside looking in, I was the picture of success.
Sonny Williams out of Australia.
The only thing in this life for certain is death.
On the hit list.
By some guy, Jake Paul, brother Logan Paul.
Their God.
Yes.
You know, in Islam.
The beauty of Islam is the simplicity of it, Habibi. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what color you are. Deenshow.com at the end there. I'm a big fan of your guys' work.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Welcome to the Deen Show. I'm Eddie, your host. Subscribe if you haven't already. Hit that notification bell so you can get all of our up-and-coming shows. And my next guest is one of the greatest players to ever play the sport of rugby. He was only the second player to ever represent New Zealand in rugby union after first playing for the country in rugby league. Sonny Bill Williams was also inducted into the Rugby Pass Hall of Fame in 2021 and is one of the only 21 players to have won the Rugby World Cup twice. Throughout his long and illustrious career, Sonny Bill Williams has won almost every trophy on offer in the sport. But there is something greater that he loves more than any of these things. And that's what we're going to be talking about here on The Deen Show with my next special guest, Sonny Bill Williams.
I might convert to Islam right now.
This is The Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of the Creator of the heavens and earth be upon you. So nice to have you with us. Alhamdulillah. We made it.
Yes, we made it. Firstly, straight off the bat, I'm very sorry. It's been a couple of no shows, but I've been extremely busy lately, and alhamdulillah, we're here.
Good to have you here, my brother. So, there was it. Did we hit that introduction right?
Yeah, over the top, brother, over the top. But I love what you said at the end, something that is more important than anything. And it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing. And he's blessing one of my eldest daughters. Just say, assalamu alaikum, darling.
Alaikum assalam. MashaAllah.
So it's early morning here in Australia, Habibi. So the kids will be coming, waking up and getting ready for school. But yeah, alhamdulillah, Allah's blessings. That's what I try to strive for, my bro.
Tell us, before we get into what you love the most, help us understand for us ignorant folks, what's the difference between American football and rugby?
Both very, very physical, violent games at times, but very skillful games at the same time as well. And I think the big difference is we play the game that you guys play without pads, without headgears, without shoulder pads, without thigh pads. So some would say we're the crazy version of the NFL.
That's like the MMA version of football.
Yes, probably you could say that.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of I'm a Polynesian. My father is of Samoan heritage. So you would see a lot of my people playing in the NFL because we're naturally Allah's blessed our people with physical gifts. You know, we're naturally big, strong, athletic people. Alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah. So that's like, you know, we see the football here, American football, and you got the helmets, the padding. So just take all that off, and that's rugby.
And that's, yeah, pretty much. But yes, there's a few other subtleties to the game, but yeah, you could say that, brother.
Subhanallah. So let's get into this quote from you. It was really powerful. I actually also shared it some time ago. And let's see what comes to your mind. I want you to react to something you wrote yourself. And it went like this. I chased girls, I drank alcohol, spent lavishly, and thought I was someone that I wasn't. What did it give me? Hollowness, emptiness in my heart. But I found Allah, God Almighty, and I found Islam, submission to God. Sonny Bill Williams. When you hear me reading that, what comes to your mind?
TheDeanShow.com at the end there. I'm a big fan of your guys' work. Firstly, sorry for not saying it at the outset, brother. I'm a big fan of you guys, and may Allah reward you.
Amen.
And protect you and your loved ones. But for myself, yeah, gives me shivers in my spine because, you know, that was my life. I strove so hard from a, I guess, sporting perspective to make something of myself in the sporting world because, you know, growing up, I grew up in a house, we call it housing commission household here. So, I wouldn't say the projects, but you get subsidized by the government, and my mom and dad both work low income jobs. Our house, for example, we had no wallpaper on the walls. Mom and dad slept in the lounge room just so we could have a bedroom for ourselves, me and my siblings. But through that struggle, it gave me that perseverance and a real simple outlook in life that if I can, and, you know, in that space, I didn't have uncles or aunties or anyone in a high income job in a living that life. So I couldn't look at my uncle and say, oh, or my father and say, oh, I want to strive to be like that. I want to get that job because it's going to give us a good income or whatnot, you know. A lot of my uncles were in gangs growing up, so I didn't really have that person of prevalence or in a position of influence to strive to be. But alhamdulillah, I went to school and I was good at sport. I was an athletic person, very athletic person. I was good at this game called rugby league, rugby union. The American viewers wouldn't be aware of that game, but it's like NFL without the pads. So I was really good at that, alhamdulillah. And, I put all my effort into that because I saw on TV players playing on TV that looked like me. So I connected with that straight away. And I thought my simplistic outlook and my naive outlook was, if I can play on TV, then I'll be able to buy mom a house with wallpaper. And that drove me, that simplistic message drove me to the heights that I reached in the sporting field at such a young age. And with that came money, came attention from the opposite sex. But although I was, from a physical point of view, very strong, ready to take on the world, mentally, I didn't have anything. I was very insecure. I wasn't equipped to deal with those heights and what came with fame, Habibi. So I really struggled in that sense, and that's why I made that statement. I was at a time where, from the outside looking in, I was the picture of success in the Western world. We call that, you know, you've got fame and wealth and I was able to buy mom that house with wallpaper. I had a flash car. I had a lot of attention from the opposite sex, but I didn't know how to, I guess, I wasn't confident in myself as a man, you know, and I was just a follower, brother. I was just a follower, because these guys that I looked up to on TV, I was all of a sudden in the same dressing room with them. You know, the thing to do was train hard, party hard, you know, and that's what I done. And it led me down a bad path where I ended up in a space where I didn't know what mental health was back then, you know. But when looking back now, I was in almost close to depression. And because my world consisted of, okay, I felt like I was a good person, but it consisted of just me, what's in it for me. You know, how do I move about this world for me? What am I going to get out of this? Why am I feeling like this? Why do I have a nice car and the opposite sex's attention and I'm living in a nice house, but why am I so sad? You know, and alhamdulillah, I stumbled upon Islam and alhamdulillah, it taught me that when you live for something greater than oneself, you know, in giving, you receive. So in giving your time, whether it be through charity or, you know, alhamdulillah, like I could sit here and talk about Islam all day for the benefits that it's given me. It's given me a structure, you know, it's given me boundaries. It's given me a different, such a beautiful outlook in life, Habibi, where, You know, I know where my base is. For example, over the weekend, alhamdulillah, Allah's blessed me with a job where I'm talking about the game that I love growing up, a commentary gig. But I was able to take my family with me up Queensland. So, you know, a few days on the go. But I know that, I guess, spiritually, Islamically, I'm still doing my prayers and whatnot, but I'm not on the pulse. So I know where my base is. So this morning, alhamdulillah, get up, you go. For me, my base is, I know I'm doing well. I know I'm on the path when I'm going Fajr and Isha at the masjid. You know, so you start that day off right. And that's one of the beauties of Islam, is it's given me a structure that of being able to put my whole heart and soul into, and it's given me back tenfold. You know, the hadith, you take that step towards Allah, and it takes 10 steps or 2 steps back towards you. I really feel that.
SubhanAllah. This is deep, you know, what you were saying. So you talk about the getting your mother what you wanted, the house with the wallpaper. You know, you have these good goals, these dreams, but then you get hit with, you know, the things that come with success. And then, you know, these are the kind of things that people, they strive and they think that, okay, if I get this, that's it. I'm going to be happy. Now you achieve all that. You got the money and all the other things that men like. And what happens? There's still a void there, huh? It's still not filled until finally you talk about another quote. When I found Islam, it helped in changing wildness in my life into positivity.
It's, you know, I feel like, and I feel like that's why I'm outspoken in some ways. You know, the beauty of Islam is the simplicity of it, Habibi. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what color you are. You know, the Prophet, peace be upon him, you know, his last talk to the Ummah, where he talks about non-Arab. Doesn't matter what color, you know, non-Arab or Arab, or, you know, for me, that hits home. It hits the heart. And my wildness is allowed, I guess, that wildness or that, you know, that streak of being able to turn that into positivity, where I walk that path as much as I can without fear, because I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, I fear the creator, not the creation. And when I'm on that buzz, as you would know, brother, you know that whatever happens is your rizq. It comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you know you're not fearful when being able to speak up for injustice as I see it. But then also understanding, having that humbleness and understanding that I will make mistakes too, that I do make mistakes and I will continue to make mistakes. But as long as I'm seeking Allah's forgiveness, I'm okay, you know. So there's been times when where I've come out and I've said things thinking that it was the right thing to do, but then I've understood that I was wrong, you know, and I've come out and apologized. But at the same time, I'll always stand up for what I think is right. And you know, sometimes now we're in a place in society where just being a good person, you know, sometimes if I'm out in public and, you know, you see an old lady carrying bags, you go up and say, oh, look, would you like me to carry it to your car? They almost look at you like you're crazy, like, you know, but you're just trying to be a good person. You're striving for Allah's blessings, you know. Sometimes I feel like we're looked at like outrageous, but I always feel like, you know, Islam's taught me so much about life and everything starts in the heart. Everything starts in the heart. And for me, you know, when I see a person that I think, oh, he might be a Muslim, or, you know, he might not be, you know, I just have that wildness about me. And I'm like, Salaam alaikum, brother. And they look at me firstly and they're like, you don't look like a Muslim, but I'm Muslim. Salaam alaikum, you know, and it's a mad feeling. So,
There was another quote you talk about. There was another quote from you, and there's so many beautiful ones that you say, I find peace and happiness in doing my prayer. And then just, you know, looking around us, I try to connect with, let's say, people of influence who are out there. And you probably interact with a lot of different celebrities, one whose life is just broadcasted now. It's almost become like a circus, you know, and you can't help but feel sorry, you know, for certain individuals, and you want guidance for them. You know, you want the best for humanity, right? And that's real love. So if you were to hang out now with somebody whose life is just, he talks about openly about, you know, doing drugs.
Testified a couple days ago that you had done just about every kind of drug there was by age 13 or 14, right?
15.
And you found that drugs are the only way to numb your pain, right?
They've always been a medicine for me, yes, a numbing agent.
And you said yesterday that, in fact, I think you said you take drugs to numb the demons, right?
I don't know that I said to numb the demons, but I have, well, if I did say demons.
Drinking.
And you would sometimes drink whiskey in the mornings too, right? During this time period.
Isn't happy hour any time?
And that cocaine, that those white lines, those are cocaine. That's cocaine, right?
I would assume.
That's your cocaine that you kept in that box that says property of JD with the skull and crossbones, isn't it?
Well, the beautiful composition of the photograph would suggest that, certainly.
Yeah. And he's going through so much now, Mr. Johnny Depp, right? Is that the kind of, like, when we look back at your life, you know, what you were, you know, going through, that wildness? And do you think now if he just did what you were doing, like connecting it with the prayer, just putting your head down on the ground, you know, beseeching help from the creator of the heavens and the earth, you know, you think this would help, you know, if he can get some of what you got now, you know, that priceless gift that money can't buy, but you can get it for free. What would you say to someone if you were hanging out with someone like Johnny Depp and he's going through, you see what he's going through right now?
I was a mess. I was a wreck. I was shaking and I just didn't understand why. And then I looked down and realized that the tip of my finger had been severed. And I was looking directly at my bones, a cigarette, this is after the finger had gone away, and she stubbed it out in my in my face and on my cheek.
Didn't hit you across the face in a proper slap, but I was hitting you. It was not punching you, babe. You're not punched.
Don't tell me what it feels like to be punched.
You know, you've been in a lot of fights. You've been around a long time. I know. Yeah.
You
didn't get punched. You got hit. I'm sorry I hit you like this, but I did not punch you. I did not deck you. I was hitting you. I don't know what the motion of my actual hand was, but you're fine. I did not hurt you. I did not punch you. I was hitting you.
Did you start physical fights?
I did start a physical fight.
Yeah, you did, so I had to get out of there.
Yes, you did. So you did the right thing, the big thing. You know what? You are admirable.
Well, you know, it's funny because what led me to Islam, besides meeting, you know, the few influential people in my life that helped me learn and step into to Islam, was, you know, trying to help myself. I read many self-help books. You know, I read so many, but you know,
some of Tony Robbins.
Oh, everything. I've read about 30 books, I'd say, when I was going through my struggles. But then when I found Islam, I was like, subhanAllah, like, this caters for all of those books in one, you know? So for me, I would say, in terms of the struggles that we have in the dunya, the kryptonite is the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet, peace be upon him, you know? And whether it is, you know, like, for example, Salah. When you talk about Salah, you know, I'm a bit of a deep thinker. So when I think about Salah, I think about five times and I put it in the context of the self-help book. Because, you know, not everyone, for us, when we're talking, it's easy because, alhamdulillah, you know, our point of reference is what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the guidance that we have. But when you're talking to a non-believer or someone that doesn't know Islam, I always try and put it into that context where I was when I was a little bit lost or searching for something, because subhanAllah, how we've been created, we all want to belong. We all search for something. You know, they say, oh, midlife crisis or whatever it is. You come to a point, everyone comes to a point where they're like, what is this world? What is this dunya? The only thing in this life is certain is death. So why am I actually here? You know, but just that point, Salah, five times a day, I strive to pray with my heart, not just my limbs. And when you're doing that, when you're in the most vulnerable position you can be, head in sajud, it's beautiful, you know. In that position, naturally, you're doing it with the sincerity in your heart. Naturally, you're grateful for whatever you have, you know. It might be just that little date that you get to have during Ramadan in a glass of water. SubhanAllah, that little date tastes like the best food you've ever had, as you know, bro. You know, so like for me, being in sajood or making salah with my heart, I'm grateful. I'm grateful, you know, for everything. I'm grateful for the wealth Allah's given me, you know, because it's allowed me to help my close ones. It's allowed me to live a life that and affect people in the way that I would love to affect people. It's, you know, I think, alhamdulillah for the blessings of my children, you know. A lot of people can be parents, but it takes time and effort and persistence to be a great parent or a good parent, you know. So, you know, just things like that. Like I sit there and those are the things that you think of, or that I, when I was reading the self-help books, was, you know, you should implement a bit of contemplate during the day, or think about things that show the gratitude aspect of life. We tick all of those boxes. We tick a lot of these things when we pray for, and we do it 5 times a day, you know. So that's the things I would probably say to Johnny Depp is, you know, keep an open mind and just have a read. You know, just have a read.
It reminded me of myself getting home at 2-3 in the morning, and the infomercials would come on. And when you started talking about self-help books, I remember Tony Robbins, and I was in that same state. You know, I'm just searching, and then I went and I bought back then. It was like the CD set, DVD set that I bought, a whole 30 volumes in that. And he's got a lot of good stuff in there, but it's nothing like what you're talking about. The iman in your heart today will be your guiding light for tomorrow. When you have Allah, God, the creator of the heavens and earth with you, you don't need anyone else. You know, this is really deep. Like, you know, when you have, because people turn towards everything else, but you're singling out. You're saying, you know, when you have the creator with you, it's kind of like what Muhammad Ali was saying. You know, I don't need nobody. I'm not scared of nobody, but the one that I love the most, the one I fear the most, God Almighty. And you're just reiterating this, the same thing, you know what I mean? But it's powerful, you know, people understand. Can you comment on this also, this what was going through your mind when you made this this post?
Well, you know, a lot of the times I will tweet random thoughts. You know, I've just come from the masjid, or Fajr or Isha, or, you know, I just have a real, like, moment of nur. I feel like I've got that moment of nur, that light in the heart, and I'm like, bro. But I also feel like, I'm a layman, you know. I'm a real simplistic guy, and those are the messages that hit my heart. Or when I'm thinking, I'm like, you know what? That's actually a mad point. Or, you know, and the beauty of social media, you know, there's a lot of cons to social media, but there's a lot of pros too when used in the right way. And I just put the vulnerability hat on, Habibi, and I'm like, this is how I feel, and you know, I feel like when I'm in the streets, even, you know, non-Muslims come up to me and they're like, man, like, your messages are powerful. Like, and I'm like, well, those messages are just simple ones. From coming from a simple sportsman, you know, I connected with coaches. Assalamu alaikum, son. I connected with coaches that would have the simplistic messages, you know, like, I play the simple game. Sometimes people like to overcomplicate the game. Where in life, we live a simple life. It can be a simple life, sorry, but we overcomplicate it with wanting this and that and that and this and that, and I want this and I need that. But nah, when you bring it back down and you just simplify it, as long as I got that, as long as I'm striving for the creator's respect, I'll get the creation's respect, no doubt.
Is that what, when you talk about simplicity, is that what finally had you accept Islam, when you looked into it, that the simple message of worshiping one and only one God and being morally upright, simple message, simple to understand?
Yes, 100%. You know, I grew up I didn't grow up in a religious household, but I grew up with a lot of, with all my close friends were pretty much Polynesians, you know, and big religious households. So, you know, I believed in God. The beauty in the key of Islam is one God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know. That's the point of reference. Like for me, there's no, and the other thing I love about Islam is that there's no gray areas, you know. I love the fact that there should be separation. You know, we go to a wedding, an Islamic wedding, and the men are in one room and the women in one room, you know. I love that because I come from a place where it's a free for all. You know, I've been in situations where, you know, you hang out with other couples and I've seen, you know, some mates end up with other mates, partners and whatnot. So I've seen the struggles of that. But so for me, I look at it like that. It's a beautiful thing. When I'm getting ready with my wife, I'm like, my love, do I look good? She's like, yeah, you look good. She's like, my love, do I look good? I'm like, alhamdulillah, you look beautiful. I'm like, all right then, go to the wedding. And I know that I'm just looking good for her. And then I go and hang out with the boys. You know what I mean? And she goes and hangs out with the ladies. So, you know, I look at it from, I'm a simple man and I understand the struggles. I understand the beautiful and the wisdom behind that because I've seen the struggles, if that makes sense.
Well, that makes I mean, and I'm just really, I'm elated that someone like yourself who would come out and, you know, to mention that, because it's something that goes what we say, the fitra and the ghira, and, you know, this is that protective jealousy. This goes with the nature, the natural way. And a lot of times we just get, it gets convoluted and it gets confusing because social pressure and things are acceptable in society and that. But, you know, a lot of conservative Christians and a lot of people who, you know, who can identify with this and just people of God consciousness, you know, what you're just saying, but they don't have, you know, a voice, an avenue, because they've accepted everything else that out there is normal. And now you're you know, so many people, what you said, they would identify with this. You know, it's very, very deep, very deep. I want to go into my next question here. It seems like, tell us about, we heard that your life is at stake. You're on some kind of a hit list.
Sonny Williams out of Australia. So there's a lot of people on the hit list.
By some guy, Jake Paul, brother Logan Paul. What's going on there?
There's a hit on you?
Well, I wouldn't say a hit. You know, and it's kind of funny me being in the fight game because I feel like I'm such a loving guy, you know, and I don't really have animosity to anyone, and I just love people doing well. And when it comes to Jake Paul, I love what he's done as a fighter, because he was a YouTuber, but with persistence, with work ethic, and with time, you know, he's worked himself up to be pretty good, pretty decent. So I respect the grind, because I'm exactly the same. I grind the same way, you know. But yeah, for me, I understand too that in this sport, it's a business. And when I hear him mentioning, or his people and himself mentioning my name, I understand he's got the American market and, you know, and whatnot. But I think they want to tap into the Australasian market. And my last fight, alhamdulillah, my last fight done really well with the pay-per-view numbers and whatnot, and I have a feeling that his people would have got wind of that. So when they're speaking dollars and cents, of course they want to reach out and get into this market. So I just said, you know, if you want to come down here, we play rugby league, the NFL version with no pads. So if you want to come down here, yeah, it'll be a great experience. Because I respect what you do, but it will be your first loss too. You know, just a bit of tongue in cheek.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I actually did a video where I was inviting his older brother, Logan Paul, because he was talking a little bit about religion and Islam.
Their God.
Yes.
You know, in Islam, Allah is the God. In Judaism, Jesus is the God. And
Jesus is not God. He never called people to worship him. As a God, as a literal son of God, he called people to worship the one God, alone, without associates. And he also warned people of the hellfire, and he gave the glad tidings of paradise, eternal life in the next paradise. and so did all the other messengers. They came with that same message, not contradictory messages. One coming and saying, worship me, the other one coming, worship the sun, the other one come saying, worship the moon, the other one saying, worship money. No, that's where you're confused.
Because I'm confused.
I did a video, a specific video, inviting him, you know, to Islam. Maybe we can go ahead, if you get to connect with him, you can go ahead and share some of this. We can get this message to his little brother, Jake Palm. Invite him also to the Deen, to Islam, huh?
Of course, brother.
Inshallah.
So, I never thought, you know, it's outrageous to think. Sometimes when you sit there, you think that, oh, you know, Islam, Jake Paul, Islam, his brother. But, you know, I look at it like for myself, Allah wills who he wants, you know. And I would never have thought that growing up that I would be a Muslim. But alhamdulillah, I'm here now. Alhamdulillah, so anything's possible. Say salam alaikum, son. This is my eldest boy, Zaid.
Alaykum salam.
Hey,
could you talk about you were searching for something, becoming a Muslim was the best thing that could have ever happened to you. And even your best friend, was your teammate, one of your teammates, was it Afa? How do you...
Afa Tonga-Fasi.
Yes, and he's quoting here, this is one of the passages from the verbatim word of God Almighty, Allah, the Quran. This is in English, the meaning, verily with every hardship comes ease. Had the most amazing experience visiting my Muslim brothers in hospital on the weekend. I'm inspired and draw. So this is one of your teammates, and would you ever think that he actually would also accept Islam, huh?
Yeah, subhanAllah. And that wasn't, I was actually,
Assalamu alaikum,
sorry. Not just him, but your mother also did, right? You had a lot of your friends. Your mother also accepted Islam, is that right?
My mom accepted Islam. My brothers accepted Islam. But it's a lot of it has just probably been through the way that they've seen it affect Islam, affect my life and change my life in such a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, bro. We done at the not the wrong time, but it's at the morning rush. You know what that's like, brother. But and with Afa Tonga-Fasi, yeah, we're just on the plane once, and I had a what was it? What becomes of the broke? Oh, how to heal a broken heart? I think Yasmin. I forgot her last name, but it's a beautiful book. It's a beautiful book. Anyway, I was sitting there reading it, and he just happened to be sitting next to me, and we started getting talking. It was like it was with Your Blacks. So we flew from New Zealand. I think we're flying to UK. So it was a long, 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 long flight. And we're talking about it. And then I ended up asking about the book. And I just gave him the book. You know what it's like, brother. If anyone shows a little bit of interest in what we're about, you're so, you know, because you want the feeling that you have for anyone else.
Yes.
So gave him the book. And then subhanAllah, usually with rugby, and the All Blacks, the backs always room with the backs and the forwards room with the forwards. But subhanAllah, this trip, they said, oh, we're going to mix it up. The backs are going to be rooming with the forwards this trip. And who was my roommate? Afa Tonga-Fasi. And, you know, we got on well. He was always a lovely guy. But we never really connected in a deep way. And
so he was from the opposite team?
No, we were on the same team.
Same team, but you never connected before.
We were on the same team too, but we never really, like, it was like, hey, brother, hey, bro, you know, how's the family? Yeah, everyone's good, you know, da da da. Like, you know, but it wasn't, we never sit down or go for a feed or hang out or, you know what I mean? And then we end up rooming together that week, and subhanAllah, you know, he's a brother now, and he's a really good guy. He's still playing for the All Blacks. So whenever you can, and in the sporting world, in the sporting context, dua for brother Afa Tonga-Fasi to do well on the footy field too, because he's doing really well and representing us on that highest level.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you very much for finding the time and sharing some of the highlights and of your life, and God willing, inshallah, this can be a benefit to so many people out there. It can be from the Johnny Depps to the Johnnies to the Mikeys to, you know, the Logan Pauls, whatever, because on the outside, like you were looking all good, right? But from the inside, your heart was searching for something more, and you found it now, and you're sharing that, and it's illuminating from you, and it's something you can see you love talking about. And that's the beautiful thing. I want to commend you, because there's a lot of people, and there's different levels, obviously, you know. And everybody's at a different phase in their life. But, you know, you could be the strongest, toughest person, but sometimes people, you know, they're scared to go ahead and, you know, to talk about certain things. And, you know, just to be like Muhammad Ali out there, he loved talking about Islam. He loved talking about his creator. Inshallah, you can continue that legacy and use what God Almighty Allah gave you to go ahead and, you know, make a good positive difference out there in the world, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen. Jazakallah, brother. Thank you for having me on your show. It's been a long time coming. I'm a big supporter of you guys. Allah be with you and Allah reward you.
Thank you, my brother, so much. May Allah bless you. Jazakallah khair. And that was our special guest, Sonny Bill Williams. And I want to thank you, Sonny, for being with us here on The Dean Show. So you could be the Johnny Depps of the world. You can be the Logan Pauls and Jake Pauls. Doesn't matter. You can have all the money and the fame. But at the end of the day, just like Sonny Bill Williams, he had all those things, but he was empty inside. And nothing will fill that void except what the way of life, because truly in the remembrance of your creator, of the creator of the heavens and earth, God Almighty Allah, do hearts find satisfaction? Do they find rest? Do they find peace? Do they find contentment? So you tried all the coke and the dope and the drinks and the drugs and all that other stuff. You've had all the fancy cars. You tried everything. You put it here, you put it there, you put it everywhere. Why don't you try? Be brave, be courageous, beseeching the one who created you, saying the all-loving, the most kind, the most merciful, the one who created me, the one who created creation, guide me, guide me, guide me. Very simple. And that's what I like, Sonny Bill Williams. You know, what he talked about, Islam, it was simple to understand, worship the creator, not the creation, be morally upright, simple, not convoluted, not complicated. And if you can start with that homework, and then I'd like to give you a free gift, go to thedeanshow.com and get your free copy of the Quran. And we'll be here to help you along your way. We'll see you next time. Subscribe if you haven't, or if you haven't already. And continue to tune into The Dean Show. Thank you once again. Until next time, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. And if you like this episode of The Dean Show, like this video, share this video far and wide, and support us on our Patreon page so we can continue this work. Thank you for tuning in. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.